Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Right, we're back, finally working. Yeah, it's been a long week for Blackburn Rovers fans, I think. Starting Monday night's game on Sky against Wigan at home, 0-0 draw. We both went to the game. Just not good enough, is it?
No, it was a real struggle, should put it that way, to watch. We just never really created anything. It was just kind of huffed and puffed. Apart from that Diaz chance early on, there was no... I can't remember another clear-cut chance.
No, not that I can think of. There were a couple like half chances. I think the one where... I don't know whether Sober crosses it in or... And it like takes a dodgy bounce and the keeper like palms it out. And then there was Costello's volley where I think he should probably square it rather than go...
There's one that came across the Dak in the six-yard box as well. But it didn't really...
It connect it properly, yeah.
Yeah, and then there was that thing, the penalty shout later on where Diaz tried to flick it for some reason.
I don't think it's a penalty. Do you think it's a penalty?
No, it weren't. I don't think it were a penalty, but...
A lot of people are saying it's contact and stuff, but...
Yeah.
Right, it weren't enough to knock him over, I think.
If you give a decision for every contact, then...
So, you mentioned about the flick there from Diaz. It were a lazy flick, really, weren't it? And I don't understand where this half-assed performances are coming from.
All night it just felt like, I said after the game that some variation of Brereton's worst performance in a Rovers shirt. Even when he first joined and he really struggled for those first 2-3 years, you could tell that he was like giving his all to make it happen. For the first time, particularly on Monday, he just felt like the effort wasn't there.
And it was very bad. I don't think Rovers fans ask for a lot, really. We don't expect loads, but we expect a minimum amount of effort. And I feel like that. I think Monday's the first time we've seen from this side that they're not putting the effort in. I don't know whether that's they're not fit enough and they've just dropped off after Christmas, which has happened in the last 5 seasons anyway. I don't know, are they bottling it because of how where they are in the league? And Wigan at home was probably our most winnable game of the season, the bottom of the league, new manager, and it should be the game that you think, right, that's 3 points.
Well, I think everyone in the build up was kind of looking towards it, especially after everything that happened last week with the, we don't need to go over what happened on deadline day again, and what's still going on really with the appeal. Everyone's kind of looking at the Wigan game on Monday as like the game that had hopefully restart this, start the season again. Particularly going into like two tough away games, Watford and West Brom. We really wanted it to be not only a win, but a convincing performance that everyone kind of gets up for again. And it was the start of a new month as well. You know, I thought that was important. But it just wasn't what we wanted at all.
We needed the win going into these next two games because it takes a bit of pressure off. Like, you get a win against Wigan, you can almost, like, not forfeit one of the away games, but now, because we've only got 1 point against Wigan, we need a win from the next two away games.
And yeah, a lot of people are calling them make or break, and to be honest, you can't really
disagree with it.
You can't disagree with it, no.
I put in my notes that this is a make or break week. I think if you get 4 points from this week, I think we're getting playoffs. If we don't get any points from this week, I think that's us this season, which sounds stupid, but I just think, like, this is going to prove how good we really are against these two teams now. What did you think of Sorby Thomas's debut? It was quite a positive debut.
Yeah, particularly second half, I thought it looked really good. I've heard rumblings about how he's only a 70-minute player, and that's why JDT took him off. But you've got to consider that, you know, he was playing for the under-21s against Celtic in midweek. So, you know, he's only just arrived, and there's been a lot of talk about how JDT, you know, the training program's a lot more, you know,
strenuous.
Strenuous, and the workload's a lot heavier. So, you know, he'll have to adjust to that. But I thought it was a really solid debut. I liked what I saw, really.
I just thought that it's positive. Like, but I expected him to be a winger, gets one-on-one with a fullback, knocks it past him 20 yards and runs and crosses the ball in. But I felt like every time he got the ball on the wing, like, one of the strikers would move across, like, down the line to offer him an option. I'm like, he's one-on-one with a fullback. Why are you running there? Like, the strikers, Vale and Gallagher, should be not going nowhere near wing when he's... they should be waiting in and around the box. If he beats his man and get a crossing, you're there. Like, they're running down lines to show him an option. He's having to come inside, and once he's inside, he's no one to pass to because the striker's run out wide.
Mm.
I just think, I mean, Vale's had enough chances this season. And we've said it before, he could do with a loan, and I don't think he's ever going to do it for us at this level.
Mm.
It's as simple as that. But Gallagher's not doing enough for me either.
No. I thought his subs really were quite strange. I mean, we've just talked about Sorby Thomas and, like, you know, the fact that he made a pretty solid debut, we both think. And Dak obviously played well again. And he took both those two off for Gallagher and...
Smodic,
weren't it? So...
Yeah. It's strange to leave Dolan on the bench as well. I think Dolan gives that bit of energy that Diaz weren't giving us.
Yeah, I think so. Diaz should have gone off for me, and for me, Diaz doesn't start on Saturday. I think in terms of Vale, you know, I mentioned to Dad on the way home after the game, he's not, whilst he's still young, he's not a, you know, he's not really breaking through anymore. Like, because when I say that, he's still to break through in terms of the amount of goals he's scoring, because he's hardly scoring at all.
Yeah.
But he's not at that typical breakthrough age anymore. You know, he's not 18, 19, he's more like... You know,
yeah, he should be like... I mean, he's starting games, though. It's not like he should be starting games. He is starting games, but he's not
producing.
He's like, yeah, his contributions to the team aren't reflecting the amount of minutes he's getting. Another thing I want to speak about is set pieces. Like, we absolutely stink at set pieces.
Yeah.
The one where Hedges and Morton have stood over it, take a short free kick, like, late on, old centre back to come on, and then they pass it across to Pickering, who shoots from 40 yards. Just absolutely baffled.
Especially
me.
That time in the game as well. I think it was like the 85th minute, weren't it?
Yeah.
And you just. I think that was one
just
of those moments.
It made it easy for Wigan to defend.
There were two moments in those, like, last, like, 10, 15 minutes, and we just thought, what are we watching
what
here?
Are we watching, yeah.
And, it was that and Gallagher's
cross.
I don't even know what to call it, really.
I mean, the Rovers admin calling it, seeing the goalkeeper off his line and going for goal, that's worse than the cross.
There was a couple, weren't there? And
like, Morton's free kick whistles past the post. It didn't even hit the side net.
Yeah.
He, like, curled it from the wrong side of the net, and it's not even hit the side net.
Working as club media, you have got to try and...
paint it a positive light. I'd rather just not post minutes and do half-time 0-0, full-time 0-0. But honestly, that free kicks. We used to be quite dangerous at free kicks, but we've always had good set piece takers. When Sorby Thomas came in, he was obviously a set piece taker at Huddersfield. I thought hey, look, we've got someone who's dangerous. Yeah. But, I mean, is it the people on the end of the free kicks? I mean, there were a couple of crosses that came into the box. I remember the one where Ben Brereton Diaz at the back post, and he almost jumped. I'm just like, I don't mind if you're like jumping and like stretching every bone in your body to get on it, and it like clips your head or you flick it on, but it didn't look that high above him.
No.
And he's not made any contact with it whatsoever, so I don't. It's a bit of a strange one, really. But what did you think of the overall performance? Is there anyone else you picked out that had a bad game and a good game?
Costello, again.
Yeah.
Solid. Almost caused a... Well, he did cause him a clean bit of a scrap at the end, which they see today that Rovers have been charged for that, which yeah. I think...
Failing to control the players.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a joke, really. I mean, it was handbags, weren't it?
Yeah.
Costello was solid again. From that, though...
I thought Travis played really. Well.
Yeah, probably one of Travis's better games this season. I mean, we've already mentioned Dak and Thomas.
Purr's getting another clean sheet. For him.
Yeah.
He didn't really have much to do apart. I mean, they had the disallowed goal that he got elbowed at Joe with. apart from that, I don't really think they troubled us. They had a couple of shots from like 30 yards that.
Mm.
But I don't think they were that close. They just had to put them in the highlights because there was nothing else to show.
There was one in first half, weren't there, into Blackman end that just kind of like. Yeah, flew over crossbar
by it. Just carried on travelling at the same height until it went over.
Would have been some goal if it had cracked in.
Yeah. Right, so I mean, we spoke about Wigan game enough. There's not really much else we can speak about.
Not really.
Crap, ain't it? Good news about the Leicester tickets. So we've been begging for weeks for the club to do something, bit of marketing. So they've how they've worded it. The 50% of the cost of the ticket
subsidised,
that's the one, that's the word I'm looking for, subsidised. So adult tickets at Leicester are £20, but for Rovers fans they're going to charge £10, which is good, and I think with that they're going to sell out guaranteed. I think they would have sold out anyway, but it's good to see the club actually doing something and
definitely we've been calling it for like the last few calling something like this for the last few weeks now, so it's something to be happy about, I think, and something the club deserve praise for, really.
It's a good start, but there's more they can do still, I think.
Yeah, definitely. But it'd be unfair to, you know, these last few weeks when it feels like, you know, we're constantly saying like there's been no engagement for so long, and now that they've now that they have done something, it'd be unfair not to praise them for it. So
yeah.
I'm glad that most of the responses to the announcement today were, you know, all positive, and it's like, you know, fair play and stuff like this. I think it's a really good time to do what they're doing, really, because I mean, fifth round, if we take a sell out down there and, you know, manage to push the boys into the quarters, you're one game away from Wembley, and it's like,
calm down a sec.
No. Well, you shouldn't get carried away, but I think it's winnable.
Yeah, it is winnable. They're struggling down there. I watched them against Villa on Saturday, and they both played well going forward, but they were both absolutely shocking at the back. So it's just whether we can take advantage of that and stay solid at the back ourselves.
Yeah.
But yeah, good thing for the club. Good thing that they've done. Let's just hope. I'm guessing we'll sell out within a week, and the people that didn't buy 1875 membership will be back to complaining again. Have they done the scheme for it this time?
Yeah, it's the forfeit. I think it's the same four phases for the
Burnley game
as it was for the Burnley game. Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah. Right. So weekend results in the Championship. Huddersfield 1, QPR 1. Huddersfield improved, but not enough. Fotheringham has been sacked now, which not really shocked about, but not really. I don't really know what the future holds for Huddersfield. Like, are they going to get in someone better? I just can't see it at all. I think Corbrand worked wonders, and he's a top manager. I just think Huddersfield need to appreciate where they're at. I don't think they're going to get a manager as good as Corbrand.
Not this time, anyway.
I mean, they can get a better manager than Fotheringham and Schofield, but I just don't think. Like, there's a massive gap between where they were with Corbrand and what they are now with other managers. QPR still no win for ages. Hull 1, Cardiff 0. Cardiff in big trouble, 3 points above relegation zone. Hull doing well since Rosinha came in. I think they've won the most games in the Championship since the World Cup break.
Right.
Which is good for Hull, because obviously when we beat them down there...
Well, they must be joint with Burnley, because Burnley have won.
But I think it feels
like Burnley that dominant at the minute. They're not even in the league. They're so far out in front.
Yeah.
As much as it pains me to say.
Luton 1, Stoke 0. Stoke are down there. Luton 3 wins in a row, up to 4th now. So... I mean, they're the blueprint for the Championship, aren't they? Spend little and be competitive every season.
Yeah.
And just manage to do it. And that, obviously, I think Kenilworth Road only holds about 10,000, so they can't use like attendances to say that they're better than us, or like they can't sell more shirts than us. So why can they be competitive every season? And we're still struggling to do it. And they've just got a team full of misfits, I think.
Yeah.
Amari Bell's like player of the season now. Middlesbrough 3, Blackpool 0, Tuber Akpom masterclass, 2 goals and assist.
I think you've got to be looking at them for the playoffs now. I think they're looking pretty nailed on.
Yeah. Millwall 1, Sunderland 1. A win would have put both of them in the playoffs, but they draw. Again, we spoke about both of them. Millwall especially flirting with the playoffs like every season, but never actually getting in there.
Yeah.
And then that's just a morbid trait, isn't it? Like, a win off playoffs and just struggling. Preston 1, Bristol City 2. Preston just can't do it at home. Just can't do it. Reading 2, Watford 2. Reading were 2-0 down. Obviously came back to 2-2, which helps us massively.
Yeah, definitely.
Swansea 3, Birmingham 4. 90th minute and 90 plus 7 goals for Birmingham. Probably the game of the season in the Championship. But just a bad result for Swansea, really. And they've just had an indifferent season, haven't they, when they started. They started badly, didn't they?
Yeah,
had like a run of like 5 games where they got up there and we thought, oh, this could be Russell Martin's got it right, and now they've gone back to he's not got it right. Maybe next year. Norwich 0, Burnley 3. They win the game in hand, they go 20 points clear. How many games we got left now? 16. We're on 30 now.
Not sure.
The most of the league's on 30. I think we're on 29, aren't we?
Yeah, I think so.
16 games left, so scary. Scary to think. Rotherham 0, Sheffield United 0. Rotherham are hard to beat since we played them. We've drawn 2 games, not conceding many goals. Are they still catchable, Sheffield United? I think they're past it.
I think the top two are gone, to be honest. I think they have been for some time now. Since the World Cup break, the picture has changed. Beyond recognition, really.
Yeah. Just think that like, when we played Burnley away, it would have won, would have gone top, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
And like everyone else, just, even like, well, I know we're miles away, but everyone else is miles away.
Start this season, we were like top of the league for like, it felt like a pretty lengthy spell that we were top.
After the first 3 games.
But well, not after that.
Bucket Premier League patches on shirt.
Completely shut. We've only picked up 8 points now. Since the restart,
not good enough, is it?
It just feels like we've been stuck on 40 odd points for ages now, and it feels like we've already said these next 2 games make or break. We've just got to get moving. Like, come on, we need to get in towards 50. You know, because we're just loitering at the minute.
Yeah, I feel like we've been in like 40 something points for like months.
Yeah.
Right, and it's just getting to that 50 mark and then pushing for 60, and then once you get to 70, you're more or less in there, aren't you?
Especially this season.
Yeah. West Brom 1, Coventry 0. West Brom up into the playoffs now. Coventry down to 15.
Yeah.
And we fancied them earlier on in the season when Jokeres were banging him in, but now he's gone off the radar. I think maybe his head's been turned by the Everton rumours in January.
I think the points deduction, although it was only a small points deduction, had an impact on them, and you know, like say with this Championship season, what, 5 points, if you've given back that 5 points, I mean, it probably puts them up just outside the playoffs. I think when stuff like that happens off the pitch as well, you know, it's bound to affect results on the pitch. So
difficult situation there. Watford Saturday, West Brom Wednesday night? Tuesday night?
Wednesday.
Um, Are you making any changes at first 11?
For Watford, I think the only change I'm making is I'm not starting Diaz.
What about Vale?
Not starting Vale. A lot of people saying give Leonard a chance, and
yeah, I think
not?
He's like in a similar situation to Vale, and he's probably not ready for like adult football.
Well,
I know he's banging him in under 21,
but
Vale's, so is
Vale. If Vale's getting the chance,
yeah, I understand that, but I don't know. I just feel like we need.
I just think Diaz needs a bit of.
Say we need someone senior. He's had a Gallagher.
Needs
over.
A bit of a kick up the arse.
Yeah, he does.
Like,
I think Dolan comes in for Diaz for me.
I don't think there's any doubt that he's had his head turned by the, you know, all the talk about Villarreal.
Yeah.
I think it's just, you know, plain as day, really. I just think a game, maybe a couple of games even, you know.
I'd see Dak and Smodic, two false nines.
My God.
No centre forwards, none at all. But yeah, it's a make or break week, I think. No points, and that's season over. Apart from the FA Cup.
Yeah. Mid-term championship, we won the cup, we'll take that.
Yeah. European tour next year.
Yeah.
You can't win the cup. The FA Cup final is the same day as Damon's wedding, so. Like, done.
We were saying the other night, weren't we? Like, Damon's wedding's getting binned off, and
like, FA Cup semi final, like, up to team score. Like, can't miss it. Right, it's going to be a quicker episode this week because I'm already fuming about the laptop situation. There's no 1 to 10 quiz. Top 5. We're going to talk about biscuits this week. Top
biscuits.
5 favourite biscuits. I'm on a diet at a minute. Dan, if you're watching this, Dan keeps calling me a fat bastard every time I turn up to football on a Monday night. So if I can't eat biscuits, I'm on a diet. So if I can't eat good stuff, I'm going to have to talk about good stuff. So top 5 biscuits.
This is tough, this, isn't it?
Yeah. And it has to be like a hard biscuit. I'm not having like
what, you
Jaffa
can't
cakes
count,
angel slice or like that. You're not, that's gobshite behaviour.
The thing is, though, if you're counting Jaffa cakes, they've got to be the goat, haven't they?
Yeah, they are. They're the cakes, aren't they? They're
yeah,
clues in the name.
Right, so what are we going then? What are like the foxes like? Jam and cream things.
Yeah, they've got
to be up there, haven't they?
Elite tier.
Yeah.
They're like Champions League winners 3 times in a row.
People are tuning in for overs and biscuits.
There's nothing good to talk about football, so I'm going to try and get you slavering rather than
right, so, Jam and Cream Fox. Right, so, what else?
I'm going to go Aldi's Orties. I think they're better than chocolate hobnobs.
Yeah.
I think Aldi's on. They changed it for a bit. They went out of stock for ages, like around lockdown time. And they've gone like to. They've changed the recipe a tiny bit, but they're not as good anymore.
Mm.
But they are still clutch.
Yeah. What else is there? It's hard to think when you're not spotting
it. Yeah, it is.
I honestly have no idea.
What else is there? What do you think? Like, are you a fan of bourbons or custard creams? Right, like
yeah, custard. A bit plain custard cream. Like, you don't want to put.
A bit boring,
you don't want to. You don't want to put custard creams in because it's like. It's like that. That's like that meal deal where it's like ham sandwich, water, very salty crisp. Well, bourbons are right. Tell you what, lemon. They call lemon puffs.
Lemon puffs are quality.
They're top 5.
No one ever rates them.
They can't like sneak under the radar, don't they?
Yeah. What else have we got?
Under the radar.
I'm trying to think of like, but I don't really buy like branded biscuits. And like your classic like Jammy Dodger and.
Yeah.
I don't really buy them anymore. Tell you what used to be good. Them Dairy Milk.
Oh, I'll tell you what I've just thought.
Dairy Milk, like cream eggs, the Dairy Milk caramels and stuff. They were like 8 in a box. They were like a chocolate covered biscuit, but it had like the flavour of the like chocolate bars. So that Dairy Milk cream eggs were, they were clapped. Dad used to fucking bottle them.
Yeah,
they
yeah,
used to
yeah.
go in food packs of them
yeah,
the day
yeah.
after school.
Yeah, I know what you're on about now.
Like, I've just bought them. Like, yeah,
the Dairy Milk caramel biscuits, but it was like, what was that round? And then there was like a
caramel filling
like a lump. Like, the caramel filling, yeah. Fig rolls.
I'm not a fig roll fan.
I know, yeah. I was thinking about the other week. I was like, they still make fig rolls.
Oh, fig rolls.
Just fell off the grid, aren't they, completely? Yeah. You know, yeah, they're top five. So how many have you got there? That's jam and cream, foxes, lemon puffs.
Orties.
That's five, isn't it? Fig rolls and...
Trying to think of honourable mentions.
Honourable mention.
Do you like ginger nuts?
No, not really.
They're good, but if you put them in a biscuit barrel, the other biscuits, so the biscuits start to taste like ginger. It's absolute killer. What else do we have on a weekend?
On a weekend. Treat.
We like brewing every year with biscuits. Yeah, I'm trying to think of like stuff to talk about because Rovers is that shit.
Watch it go on telly. Yeah. A lot of people have been talking about Happy Valley.
Yeah, I watched episode one last night, no spoilers. It's alright. It's just like, I don't know, I feel like people that obsess over BBC dramas just don't like Netflix, do they? Like, they're just not as good. I mean, Line of Duty was good, don't get me wrong. But that
BBC... Can't really speak because I haven't watched either
Line of Duty is good. But like, if you're watching like a series, you're going to go like top like HBO stuff, aren't you? And like Walking Dead, Game of Thrones. You're not going to compare it to Touch of Frost. Well, on ITV, BBC, whatever it was. I just think like, terrestrial television.
My favourite BBC one was Bodyguard a few years ago. Did you watch that?
That was him from really Game good. Of Thrones, weren't it?
I'm not sure because I'm missing Game of Thrones. But
He was like the Prime Minister's bodyguard, weren't he? The
yeah,
female.
Scottish guy. Yeah. Can't remember his name now, but there's a lot of, at the time, a lot of people were tipping him to be like the next James Bond because like, how good his performance
I think he
was.
Still could be.
Yeah.
But he's definitely in Game of Thrones. He's one of the Stark brothers in Game of Thrones. Anything
is
else
this what
add?
We've been reduced to? We haven't spoken about Watford.
Oh, you're going to Watford on Saturday, aren't
there
you?
There you go.
Yeah, right, we'll talk us through your plans for Saturday then.
Yeah, Saturday. God knows why I've done what I've done. No.
How much are tickets?
It's like the tenner for a match ticket.
Yeah.
Train was something stupid like £50.
That wheel rail card as well.
Yeah, it's expensive, that, isn't it?
Half
eight start. Trains at 8:36 from Blackburn. So I work most weekends. Like, I kind of had to like pick and choose like which away games to go to and that. So that. Like, and after Sunday, I went Sunday away on Boxing Day. I was kind of like, it's a bit of a shit day. It kind of put me off for a bit. But like recently, I'm like, kind of ready for a away day again. So I was meant to be working this Saturday, and now I swapped it for the Sunday. So now I'm going to be working 11:07 on Sunday.
Oh,
after
minging.
Being that is
minging.
Yeah, it's,
if we win,
it absolutely
it's
stinks. If we lose, it's worse. To be honest. Yeah. Yeah, what have I done?
My next away day is going to be Leicester. And then after that, I don't know. I'm going to watch Open Goal Broomhill on Saturday. I'm in Scotland this weekend, so I'm going up Friday night. I'm about Sunday. And Rebecca's out on Saturday, wedding dress shop with me, Alana. So
all right.
I'm going to watch Open Goal Broomhill.
That should be good.
Yeah. Go and watch the boys. Go watch the initial motivation to a podcast. Anything else to add? I think I'm done. I think I'm alternative commentary. That's the only thing left to do.
Yeah.
For this week.
So, my God, that has been a short pocket. 28 minutes. Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh my God. What's happening for the Man City? Man City. Yeah. FFP. Well, breaching financial rules, however you want to say it.
I mean, I don't think they'll get much punishment, to be honest. I think the people I've spoke to already know my thoughts about it. The government were going to bring in like an independent regulator for the Premier League, weren't they? They were going to say, like, we're going to control the regulations of who takes over, how much money is spent, whatever. And I think the Premier League have come and done this. Like a slap on the wrist, they say, oh, we're managing it, don't worry about it, we can still do it. And I just think, right, it's just a way of showing that they are really doing something without actually doing anything. And I think it depends on the punishment. If they expel them from the league, they're obviously taking it seriously, but can I see it? No, it'll probably be a £100 million fine, which is absolutely fuck all to Man City.
Yeah.
So what is the point at all? I mean, there were mentions, Real Madrid president, one of the presidents at clubs abroad said, we need a Super League, like he's putting plans forward again for 2 years' time.
Yeah, it's kind of like started up again today, hasn't it?
We already have a Super League. The Premier League is a Super League. We've got like Bournemouth signing players from Italian clubs for like 30 million. Mm. Like, no Italian club should have players leaving going to play for Bournemouth. And I know they say, oh, they want to play in the best league in the world. And if you're playing for like Inter, AC Milan, like competing for Serie A titles and Coppa Italia's and then playing in the Champions League, that's not lower than playing for Bournemouth fighting relegation every year in Prem, just because you're in the Prem.
Yeah,
like, you might earn a bit more money, but like once you're earning that money anyway, like what's an extra 25 grand a week?
Yeah.
Like after tax and stuff, you get absolutely caned out your ass.
To me, it's been the case for quite a while now that the Big Five, like the big five European leagues, no longer really exists as like a concept. It's like the Premier League. Yeah. And the other four now.
Yeah,
it feels
Premier
like
League is so far away now.
That much money, like kind of just floating around in the Premier League, it's unbelievable.
I think the Super League will come in when the last four of the Champions League are like English teams for like 3 or 4 years. I think once it gets like, you know, when United and Chelsea nearly got to the final twice, and like it, when Chelsea just got covered by Abramovich, it must have been like a few years after that where they built like a super team. United were still spending a lot of money trying to compete, and they were both probably the best two teams in the world at the time.
Barca
weren't it? Well, Rijkaard's Barca, not Chelsea, out the year after with the refereeing decisions, and that's because they didn't want a repeat of the seasons before a final. I think when that starts happening again, where you're having like City Chelsea, City Liverpool, Liverpool United in the final, Liverpool Newcastle, when you're having Blackburn Rovers Newcastle at Champions League final, like that's when they'll start pulling the plug. I mean, Chelsea have spent more than every other European league combined. Yeah. That's ridiculous. That shouldn't be allowed to happen. And I've said for years that I would love a draft style system like they have in the NFL and the NBA. I don't think it'll ever happen, but and people say like, oh, we can't have the Super League, it'll ruin football. Football's ruined now. Like, what is the point for there's 92 clubs?
Yeah, there must be a way to fix that. I were watching, you know, the overlap, Gary Neville's
documentary podcast with Carragher.
And he just like released a new fan debate, and they were talking about like the whole thing in Man City in that, and they were talking about FFP and like sustainability and stuff like that. There's got to be a way. Like Gary Neville was saying, FFP, to him it feels like it's only there to like keep the big clubs at the top, and like he was saying like it's not fair that, like using Man City as an example, they should be 11th in the Premier League forever.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It doesn't feel fair. So and like obviously he's involved at Salford, and he was saying like it's not fair that Salford should be in the 70th forever.
No,
it's not fair.
I think FFP,
Rovers without Uncle Jack's investment
would never
have just run. Like, you know, kind of
languish on lower division
existed.
Yeah,
you know.
But I think FFP is to make the most marketable teams the most successful. So you've got your Liverpool, your United, Chelsea that make millions and millions in revenue. And I think that the easiest to market for the Premier League is like a product. So they don't want a Man City coming in where they have got history in a way, but like they haven't grown that worldwide fan base. So it's harder to market Man City to the rest of the world than it is to market Man United or Liverpool. And yeah, I think it's just a tool that was introduced to it probably did it come in like 2008, probably around the time that City started spending money.
Yeah,
and they probably thought, wait a minute, we need to protect United, your Arsenal,
because if this is happening, at that point it'd already happened at Chelsea.
Yeah,
it's going to happen at City.
Yeah,
you know, what other clubs are going to get, but...
I mean, for me, the money that they get in the Premier League... So, I think if you're wanting to invest money, you need to invest money to compete. Like, Bournemouth have invested money, and they've invested money to survive in the Premier League. That's shite.
Yeah.
I'd rather just not exist.
I'm not sure about that.
They don't compete. They don't try in a League Cup. They don't try in the FA Cup. What is the point?
So there's a point to doing that. Clubs that keep doing that, that's boring for me. I'd lose any sort of enjoyment you get from that initially, pretty quickly. You've got to kind of develop and evolve. You've got to do that at first and then build. That's what you've got to do. It always irritates me when you get those kind of... Every season it feels like you see it where you see Premier League clubs and they're already safe come January, but they won't field full strength teams at FA Cup.
Yeah.
Because there's that much money
in one or two positions.
It's just mad, isn't it? But it's like, to me, in a situation like that, you just feel like you want to say to the board, like, just forget about your pockets for a second and just think of like the fans in the stands who were dreaming that one day...
It's like Wigan when they won the FA Cup and got relegated. There might be a time when they get back in the Prem, but you'll never take away their memories of winning the FA Cup. Ever. And they might never get back in the Prem, but if you ask the fans, what would you rather do, stay in the Prem and lost the FA Cup final? They'll be like, are you mad?
Yeah.
Like, of course I want to win the FA Cup. And that's what I think a lot of them don't understand. Like, for that 90 minutes of the year that you're holders of the FA Cup, no one will ever take that away from you. And I don't know, like, people celebrate. At the minute, it feels like 17th in the Premier League is a bigger achievement than winning any major trophy.
Yeah.
Like, even like you in the Europa League and Europa Conference League, I think social media plays a part in it as well, because teams will win a European Cup that isn't the Champions League. And people are like, oh, it's Mickey Mouse Cup to win it. Yeah, but for the fans, it's not. Like, the fans, is it like when Rangers went to the final in Seville?
That was unbelievable. Yeah, unbelievable achievement.
Yeah, and like people like, oh, it's not the Champions League, is it? So, I don't care who we're playing in Europe. If we won one game in Europe whilst I was there, I'd be absolutely off my tits.
Yeah.
I'd be absolutely buzzing. I wouldn't care who it were. It'd be like a third division Polish side. I'd be on pitch if we scored. That Europa Conference League 2, whenever it gets introduced.
They're bringing that in, Conference League 2.
And it's for I think the Championship get the team that lost the playoff final. I think that's how it is on FM. I don't know if that's going to happen in real life. So whoever misses out on the promotion to Premier League will get Europa Conference League 2. But then
that'll
hinder the promotion. But then you could be like channeling to like Estonia and like Liechtenstein and stuff. It won't be Athletic or Bilbao.
Obviously not. But I feel like,
we can't score against Astro fucking Guru.
If that was to happen, then it gives everyone a chance, doesn't it? I suppose.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
We've talked on here about like how, we're like almost dying for like a pre-season friendly abroad. Just to watch Rovers in Europe somewhere. So I don't know. But then again, like, you feel like European football, if you give it to everyone, then it maybe loses a bit, of the special kind of aurora around it.
I wouldn't mind like a UK like tournament, Champions of Wales, Champions of Scotland.
Yeah,
Johnson's Paint Trophy winners.
This British Cup thing has been an idea for a while. I think Tony Blair in the 90s was on about bringing that in.
Don't mention his name on this podcast. I keep asking for football to be changed, and every time football change get introduced or mentioned, it's like, no, you can't do that, you'll ruin football. I don't know. I think for a lot of teams, your season's almost over by March. I just don't understand the point.
No.
Maybe the League Cup did it like towards the end of the season when rather than starting it earlier. If you started the FA Cup in August and went through to the final in May, but have it spread out, and then the FA Cup weekends in between, you could do like a League Cup from March onwards, where people know they're safe and they're gonna put out stronger teams. I don't know. I feel like in August, where if you've lost, so the first League Cup round is like 3 weeks into the season, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very early. Isn't it?
If you've lost your first two league games of the season, you're like, oh shit. Like,
yeah, better rest some.
Yeah, do we take the League Cup seriously and like try and stay up, or like do we try and catch up with the rest of the league by going out sooner? And I just think like it'd be better off the opposite way around, where there's probably less pressure on them, and like even for the team that are like down there but expect to be up there, they're like, right, well, we're not going to catch the top six, we're not going to qualify for Europe, but like we've got a chance here to qualify for Europe by winning the League Cup later on in the season, and like they put everything into winning the League Cup. And that, I mean, the FA Cup round five, quality wise in terms of teams, is probably the worst it's been for years.
Yeah,
like we've got Leicester, United, West Ham, City, Spurs. They're the last five out of 16. I think the rest of the Championship are League One, aren't they?
I think so. Yeah,
Brighton
as well. Yeah,
they're away at Stoke, aren't they? So that's a tough game.
Tough game, but I mean, you know, Brighton are one of those teams that we've just been talking about who are, you know, they're having a good season. Probably not going to get Europe though, realistically. So the mid table. Why are they not going for FA Cup? Well,
I mean they are.
but like, you know,
yeah, that should be the main priority.
They should
be
going for FA Cup.
Yeah.
But we need to make football sustainable and competitive. They should be the two big priorities. Like, yeah. Andy Holt, the owner of Stanley, his idea of sustainability is that you only spend what you bring in with revenue. To me, that kind of like, that I don't think that would have much of an impact, because it kind of keeps, you know, it kind of keeps the big clubs, because Rovers aren't going to be able to, whatever Rovers do, we will never get the revenue of any of the big
United,
six.
Yeah. But then it goes back to like how you spend it. Like you look at the Bordeaux Glint in Norway, like the Moneyball system, like Brentford, like that were their Moneyball system.
Yeah.
You can cut costs by like not having an academy and hiring quite well and having like a decent recruitment system. That's how you squeeze that advantage to like your favour.
But the other idea is that you have that revenue and then you like top it up with owner funding.
Yeah.
So, but to me, if you're going to do that, the owner funding has to be capped at a certain, say, percentage, generally, of revenue. So,
yeah,
like
an extra 50% on top of some of that.
Yeah. Say if I Man United bring in, I don't know, I'm just going to make them for 300 million in revenue. Like,
yeah.
Probably bringing out obviously a lot more than that. But they can only put so much owner funding in because they already make so much off revenue. Do you know, whereas say Rovers make a lot less off revenue, they'd be able to put a lot more owner funding in, so it kind of balances it out that way.
Yeah.
You know, we need to make it more competitive.
Yeah. I think, the way that we're doing it now isn't sustainable, is it? Let's be honest, because Chelsea spent so much this window. Sky Sports is celebrating how much has been spent, like it's the best thing ever. And in the next window, they want even more spending. They want, and it'd be like, whoever gets taken over next, they'll be like, if they spend 500 million, it's like, oh, well, Chelsea spent 600 million, so you're not spending as much as them. And I think United have been linked to like Qatari owners today, aren't they? So like, they'll just want another ridiculous spending spree after that. So, but yeah. Well, that's enough about corrupt owners and how much money they're going to spend. Right, so we'll be back. Is that it?
I think that's it, yeah. We'll call it a do, though.
We'll call it a do. Call it a do. Are you coming on? Right, so we'll be back. We've been one before West Brom, or what we do after West Brom. Double-headed next week. Have an extra long episode.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, well, I'll be away for it, and then surprised to do it for West Brom, actually.
Right.
I'll be down south on Thursday.
Oh, right,
okay. And then, well, probably won't have enough time to turn it around on Friday.
Yeah, we'll do it before West Brom, and then we'll do we'll sort it. We'll be back next week anyway.
Yeah.
Right, that's us for another week. So yeah. I'll see you later.
See you later.
Podcast Network.